The Time Traveling Robots in Space is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download at audibletrial.com/galacticnetcasts. Over 100,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player.
The Time Traveling Robots in Space podcast starts now.
It is Thursday, January 10th, 2013, and welcome to another Galactic Netcast. This is the Time Traveling Robots in Space, number 53 from Waterloo, Iowa. I'm Dave Nelson. Joining me, as always, from Glendale, California, Paul Swickard. It seems like it's been forever, Paul.
It has. It's a lifetime ago, sir. It really is. It just sucks. I was expecting a Christmas miracle, us all getting together, holidays, you know, doing the holiday special, and it just didn't happen.
Well,
I'm so bummed.
Let's run down the comedy of errors, okay?
All right.
I had internet issues. I was down to like 1 megabyte per second, up and down. Got that fixed, and then Brad had an issue with his microphone / headset. And then we got together last week, but you couldn't because of some other things. So,
indeed,
it was just a snowball of crap.
Yeah, and it landed. I don't know where it landed. It landed on the customer. That's where it landed. Our listener.
Yes.
So we're sorry.
Yes, we apologize. Hopefully, this will be the start of. We're on a roll now, and you're back with a brand new microphone too.
I know it's a lovely microphone. Sure,
there you go.
Yeah.
See, and we should also explain that we're recording on Skype now too. So, everybody's clear. Everybody sounds like they actually do in real life.
And I'm not accidentally talking over somebody who hasn't concluded their sentence like 2 seconds earlier.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's nice not having that lag.
Okay.
Really nice.
Let's continue. Let's continue our route around the room. From Denton, Texas, Miss Anessa Moines.
Woo!
Yay!
Like
how you doing, Anessa?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
Not too bad. What's happening in Denton, in Texas?
Not a whole lot, I guess. At least not that I can think of. We have a sci-fi expo coming up next month in Irving, so that should be fun. They're going to have 3 people from Battlestar Galactica.
Ooh,
which I'm really excited about.
Which 3?
Edward James Olmos,
oh.
Trisha Helfer,
oh.
And James Callis.
Oh,
wow! Dave is ready. I don't know what he's ready for, but he's ready.
Yeah, that did sound kind of
so excited.
That did sound kind of not like what it should have been sounded.
And you were more excited about Gaius than 6, which
no.
is kind of weird.
No, no, no.
As far as your enthusiasm building up.
Yeah, well, you know. Very exciting. You're going, I take it, right?
That's the plan, unless something happens.
That's very exciting, man. Yeah, it's just starting. The new convention season is starting.
It is.
Very exciting. Are you planning on going to any conventions this year, Paul?
I am planning. Well, yeah, I'm planning on going to Nerdtacular, of course.
Yeah.
Which is in, I'm told that it's at the beginning of July.
Yeah, I heard
that
too.
At least that is what it appears to be. So. I'll definitely be going to that. I might be going to PAX. I doubt it, though. Like we're having a kid this year, so and I know my wife actually wants me to take her on a vacation at some point. So, it'll at least locked in is Nerdtacular.
Okay, we have to.
And
have
you should go to that, by the way.
I was planning on it, sort of, but something came up, and I'm going to Canada instead this summer. So.
Canada.
Yeah.
Did you tell him what came up?
No, I'm not. I don't want to talk about it on the show.
I'm not going to talk about it on the show, but I mean later.
Okay.
Fill him in on the deets.
I will fill you in on the deets later, Mr. Peacewick.
Okay. I'm postulating. I think I know what's going on here.
Okay.
I know the look.
you're connecting the dots. You're putting two and two together.
Paul is a smart man.
I do all right. Anywho, okay. Yes.
All right, let's move on. Talk about what we're here for, which is time travel, robots, and space in science fiction and science fact. We do it by running down some news stories from each topic, discuss our entertainment picks for the week, and answer the question of the week. For our audio subscribers, if you'd like to see us record the show, stream it out to the world, all you got to do is go to galacticnetcast.com/live Thursdays at 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific time, or just follow us on Twitter, Facebook, or Google Plus. We'll let you know when and where it's going to happen. So if you guys are ready, let's get the show on the road and start with our first topic, which is this.
Sector 1, time travel.
And Paul, since you were gone for so long, you got the first story.
Oh, lucky me. I'm so thrilled. Dave, are you an artist? Anessa, you an artist?
No.
And how do you define art? These are some of the abstract qualities that we have to discuss when we're talking about the human condition. Am I right? I know. We just went super deep.
Yeah. No, it, far out, man.
Well, if you write, draw, paint, make music, movies, or, you know, any sort of creative expression, you don't need to do that anymore. Congrats. You can all just take a break because... one reason only. The film Army of Frankensteins is here, rendering all further artistic expression moot. That is my point here.
Is this the
Army of Frankensteins?
Is this the Iron Sky of 2013?
Quite possibly.
Yes. You know what? Screw it. Yes, it is. I'm not even going to try and be coy about this. It absolutely is.
All right. Tell us more. So,
what's up?
Tell us more.
Well, okay. First of all, there's a trailer, and you should watch it. And if you were to watch that trailer, you can tell that Army of Frankensteins is, in fact, about an army of Frankensteins. Just so you all know, just in case, like, you were thinking it would be, like, Dracula or something. Or, you know, like a Lincoln biopic.
So
I don't know.
It might have been some, like, a ruse. Like, bait and switch, right? That's what...
I would have loved that.
Yeah.
I really would have. But you know what? When you talk about Army of Frankensteins, you really just need to have an Army of Frankensteins.
You need to deliver on that. Yeah.
Let's see. So, here, helpfully called Frankensteins is what... Oh, my gosh. Who wrote this? It wasn't me.
It was from IO9.
Okay.
It was from IO9? Yeah. All right. Yep. See, I'm trying to interpret this. So, okay, consider this. You are somehow sent back into the Civil War. And for whatever reason, you must stop these Frankenstein monsters. This is what it has to do with time travel, people. You're going back into the Civil War.
Oh.
To fight or, you know, stop all the Frankensteins.
I was wondering where time travel figured in here.
I know. The premise is glorious enough, but the film gives us the extra joy of seeing a Union soldier wielding what looks like, for all intents and purposes, a Mega Man's Buster Cannon. Do you have any idea what I'm talking
That's
about at this
awesome.
Point?
Yes.
I don't.
I do. I played Mega Man as a kid.
I don't, but it sounds awesome. Explain, please.
So Mega Man, for those of you who don't know, is a robot, and he has one of his arms is a cannon, and it's basically this giant bulge on the end of his hand. Like, it just looks like this big round thing. Like, it looks like he put his hand into a ball, and the ball just kind of stretched out across his arm. That's what it looks like. So. And according to IO9, this automatically makes it the greatest movie ever made. And you know what? I tend to agree.
I can't wait to watch the trailer for this.
Yeah. So yeah, if you're not drawing, writing, composing, or filming something about the Civil War with an arm, with a Civil War soldier with an arm cannon fighting multiple Frankensteins, do not bother.
So this is gonna blow. Lincoln versus what was the movie with Lincoln? Vampire Hunter.
Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah,
Vampire Hunter.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. This is gonna blow that out of the water.
Oh, dude. Yes. You have no idea how freaking amazing this idea is.
Okay, so
I'm glad that we're taking this. I'm glad we're taking it in this direction.
Okay, tell me, this is from the folks at what's that
Asylum?
Asylum. Thank you. The Asylum Productions, is that where that who's making this?
I don't know, but I don't think so. Let me see real quick.
Yeah, tell me it's the Asylum. Please make it the Asylum.
I don't know. The trailer is only a minute long. So, yeah, you should watch that.
We will. I will.
Everybody should.
Everybody should. The whole world. Join together and watch the trailer.
In harmony.
In harmony.
Production company, Dark Sky Films.
Okay. Damn it.
Dark Sky.
Is there a release date?
Fall 2013.
Okay, good.
Yeah, that's about it.
All right.
Yeah, but they're not kidding. It looks like a big mechanical, like, blaster arm at the end of his hand.
Oh, man. That's going to be awesome. So we got, it's a period piece, takes place in Civil War.
Yeah,
it's time travel. It's time travel, and then it's
I don't know that I'd call it a period piece, Dave.
Big blaster guns on the end of people's arms. Exactly part of that period.
You could. Don't get me wrong. Go for it.
Okay, I want to call it a period piece. I'm comfortable with that.
You know what? Call it a period piece.
Okay. Oh man, this is okay. What a way to start the new year. With a new show.
I know. Oh, dude. I'm going to be sad. Is it wrong that I'm going to be a little sad if this is as high as it's going to go? You know, like we hit the high point early and now it's just going to taper off. I kind of feel like the high point, at least story-wise, was that one robot that decided to introduce people into death.
Oh, and then, oh yeah.
Yes.
That was the creepiest robot ever.
So now we've hit the precipice and it's all downhill.
Yeah, I'm afraid of that too.
Sorry.
Maybe our end of life is detected.
End of life detected.
Oh god.
Time of death.
Oh god.
Cuz you know, you can really hear when your time of death is.
Yeah. Exactly. All right. So, I was thinking, what other historical genre mashups could we make? Because we got
there's plenty.
We got Abraham Lincoln and the vampires.
You also have like Abraham Lincoln with werewolves or zombies or something. Right. I've seen that at Redbox.
Yeah, that's right. Actually an Asylum film.
You have Pride and Prejudice and zombies.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then wasn't there some other ones that we talked about on another show, another episode? There was a film coming out, and the guy that was producing it was famous for two other like mashups of genre and history. And I forget now.
Isn't it one guy in particular that just kind of loves doing that?
I think there is.
Probably.
Yeah. Anyways, it's a great genre that I wish would continue and flourish.
Agreed.
Ghosts versus.
Ghosts. Ghosts versus ninjas.
Yes. Okay, this is going to cause a problem because you're not supposed to see either of them.
That's true. You have to, like, ghosts have the clear advantage of not being alive.
Yeah.
And,
yeah,
you know,
and unless, like, the ninjas also have a priest on their side.
Good point. That's a good point. So, okay, are we assuming – so we're going with the possession rules. Like you need some kind of – you need the general priestly power in order to cast away the bad things.
So,
I suppose we could do that.
So that could be a power of the ninjas. That could be ninja priests.
They bless the swords and then they're – you know, then the ghosts, like they're all afraid of the swords.
Yeah. I think we're on to something.
I love this plan. I'm excited to be a part of it.
Okay. Hey, you're close to Hollywood. Let's get this movie made, Paul.
Folks, if you want to send me a script, I know a couple of Hollywood screenwriters. I don't.
Lots of disappointed people at this moment.
Yeah. Well, hey, you know what? I'll talk to whoever I might run across in, you know, on you know what? I will do this for you. I will go to Hollywood Boulevard and I will toss the script into the air and hope that somebody important reads it. How about that?
Okay. Because it's just crazy full of just out of work screenwriters down there, right? They're just hanging around.
Yeah. Yeah. I do know one screenwriter for television. Like, she was a showrunner for a long time on a bunch of different shows.
Oh, awesome.
But I mean, she's trying to, like, it's not like that doesn't, it's funny. People think about that and they're like, oh, well, you're in. No, you're not in. You are still one of the masses and you still have to work a ridiculous amount of hours. And on top of that, there's no guarantee that what you're writing is getting into the show or what you know, any of your original content for other shows gets like to people that necessarily matter that will actually make decisions.
It's a nasty business. I wouldn't want to be a part of it.
Well, dude, hey, man, we are making our own network. We're making our own shows.
Yeah.
Hey, guess what? This is a show.
Yeah.
It's a show. So, you know what? We're bucking the system right now.
Yeah.
And we just need to get paid for it.
Yeah.
Dave.
Come on. I'm working hard enough on my job. We need another employee.
See, you like your day job. That's the difference there. You know you do.
Yeah. It's fun. It's hectic at times, but it's fun. Yeah, it's better than digging dishes, that's for sure.
That's true. That's a good point.
All right, let's move on before Anessa falls asleep. Looks like
I am in the ambient chair, though.
Yeah, you're like, are you in your pajamas? You're just like ready to just totally fall asleep on camera right now.
T-shirt that I was wearing today, and then I guess kind of a sweatpants thing.
And you got a blanket.
I'm pretty comfy.
You got a blanket there, don't you, too?
You look very snug.
Yeah.
It's actually a Snuggie that my mom got for Christmas.
Nice! That is awesome. Very good.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about the whole Snuggie thing, so I use it more as a blanket, but yeah, I totally got the arm thing going
nice.
On. Yeah!
At least it's not a camouflage Snuggie.
You're like all zebra'd.
I know.
Like, good for you, I guess. You know what? I feel like if I were to get a Snuggie, I feel like I would have to be really just stupid. Like,
just over the top.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
I don't know. It's just, if you're going to do that, just take it to the max.
Yeah, no. Go all out. All or nothing. All right. Before we move on to robots, we would love to hear what you think of the stuff that we're talking about today on the show. Are you excited for Army of Frankensteins? Let
and
us know.
If you're not, why not?
Yeah, what's wrong with you? our voicemail number, 805-328-3966, and email is galacticnetcasts@gmail.com. One of two ways that you can get a hold of us and leave us feedback. Again, 805-328-3966 or galacticnetcasts@gmail.com. And let's move on to our next subject, which is robots, right?
Robots.
Okay. Here we go.
Sector 2. Robots.
And Anessa has the robot story.
It's okay if you don't do Windows. Because now there is a robot that does. Yay!
Hold up. We're not talking about Windows, the operating system, are we?
No, we're talking about, like, I'm going to look out the window and watch the people walk by. Windows.
Are those? Okay.
But, yeah.
Do tell.
The original Windows.
The original Windows.
Windows classic.
Think of the upcoming Winbot from Ecovacs like a vertical Roomba. Mist the pads with cleaning solutions and then place the robot on a window, inside or out. It suctions on and then measures the window to determine the best cleaning path. Then off it goes. Fortunately, with those without a ladder at hand, no matter the window, Winbot comes starting point or comes back to its starting point when finished. Two versions, one for framed windows and one for frameless glass, will be available in late April at price points of roughly $299 to $399. That's on par with many other mid to high range robotic cleaners. The device moves slowly, but the spokeswoman says, thoroughly cleans. Winbot helps out a little tune. Oh, beeps out a little tune when it's finished, negating the need to supervise. And if it happens to miss a spot, you can direct it back to a specific area. WinBot plugs in, and there's also a backup battery so it doesn't fall off the window should, say, the power go out. But WinBot does not do outdoor windows when it's raining, snowing, or below 40 degrees Fahrenheit. Even robotic cleaners have their limits.
So this is like a Roomba for...
Yes, for your windows.
For windows. It looks like a jellyfish.
with like the cable and stuff like yeah. hanging out. Yeah. I can totally see that. If my windows weren't just right there, then I would totally want one of those.
It's like, I want to know, like, I see one of those things and I immediately think, hey, how do we get, like, attach an iPod to it? So it'd be like, it'll be like DJ Roomba, except for the windows.
Yeah. It's just going around the windows.
Like, Yeah. All right. All right. So, my yet another thing to freak out our household pets.
Yeah. When the cat's trying to watch cat TV, all of a sudden it's like, robot. Cat's like, what's going on?
I don't know. And, I'm just a cat. I think it's another thing trying to eat me.
Freak out and hide. Yeah.
Oh, so, cats. Welcome to the cat podcast, everyone. The cat cast.
The cat cast?
I don't know.
Hey, that's a new podcast cast. We could do. The cat cast.
Oh, cat lovers everywhere.
So, there you go. The Windows robot. WinBot from Ecovacs.
See, they're going to run into problems with brand management. They're going to think Windows. You say Windows robot.
Yeah.
And I think that it's a robot running Windows.
Yeah. Like, okay, what version of Windows is it running now? So, yeah, it could get confusing, but I don't know of another name that they could use for it.
Yeah, no, you're right. That's like, that's a good point, actually, because you'd be like, we can't call it Windows. What do we call it? They're cleaning windows. What do you want? There's no, like, We need another word for glass cleaner. Like, what do we call it?
Yeah, like glass bot.
I guess that would cover a wider thing then, you know?
They were to call it glass bot?
Yeah, it wouldn't have to be a window. You could...
Sure. You just put glasses underneath it and see what happens.
Yeah.
Or, well, better yet, how about your reading glasses? There's a freaking good idea.
Yeah.
Just, like, watch it chew it up and go, oh, yeah, seeing as how all three of us freaking wear glasses...
Yeah, or they could make tiny versions that just...
Oh, wouldn't that be weird? Just see every once in a while, just see this little guy.
Microscopic.
Somebody needs to do that in just some ridiculous science fiction movie. It takes itself not seriously at all. And then you just, one guy wears glasses, and then every once in a while you see from his perspective, you see this little thing just go up and down. It's cleaning.
It comes out of the frame or something. It just like, bloop, and it goes across, and then it goes back in. Oh,
Hollywood, we're giving you gold tonight.
Yeah, I know, man.
So.
Oh, yeah. That's awesome. I love it.
Could totally make this happen.
All right. So, we've had two good ideas tonight.
We have.
Let's try for three, shall we? You guys ready to move on?
Go.
Pressure. Yeah, let's go.
All right. Time traveling robots. Yeah, start thinking. Start thinking about the next big idea. The Time Traveling Robots in Space is brought to you by Audible.com. For you, the Time Traveling Robots in Space listener, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the chance to check out their service. And to go along with the theme of this podcast, may we suggest Hunters in the Forest by Robert Silverberg. Hunters.
What is it about, Dave?
Okay. A very
Hunters.
Is it about hunters?
It is about hunters, and they're in a forest.
Oh, man.
I just blew your mind, didn't I?
It's like Army mind of Frankensteins.
Yeah, I know. It just says what it is, you know? No, the book explores a distant future where vacations travel back to the time of dinosaurs, which is a common theme among time travel stories, it seems like. After a chance meeting, Tom Mallory questions whether or not to return to civilization. With all its trappings and conveniences, Mallory must choose between an artificial life and a natural one. So read or listen to Hunters in the Forest by Robert Silverberg, our pick this week for audible.com. You can pick that or pick any other one. It's free. You can just sign up by going to audibletrial.com/galacticnetcasts. Again, audibletrial.com/galacticnetcasts. And we thank Audible for their support of the time traveling robots in space. All right, let's move on to, did someone say space?
Space.
She did.
Who is she, by the way? Isn't she a robot?
Robot lady, yeah.
Nice.
We hired her specifically because we talk about robots in the show.
Perfect.
All right, so space. The men's personal care product company, Axe. You've heard of them, right? Axe?
I have. I know. I mostly know their commercials, unfortunately. Like, that's how they're known.
Yeah, not the best ad campaigns.
Well, it's funny. It's just, yeah.
Yeah. No,
funny
I get
for the wrong reasons. How about that?
I get what you're saying. I understand where you're going with that. Well, anyways, Axe has teamed up with the famed Moonwalker, really? Famed astronaut.
He did walk on the moon.
Yeah, that's true. Backwards.
That's kind of awesome. To be known like that, you know? Like, holy crap.
No, but the younger generation are going to think, a famous dancer? What?
If they even know what Moonwalker is.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true. You know, kids these days, they're very non-ironic. So they'll like, hey, they'll actually get that word. He walked on the moon.
Kids these days.
Yeah, get off my lawn. Anyways, Axe has teamed up with Buzz Aldrin to send 22 people into space.
Space.
Yeah.
Space.
And make sure they smell nice doing it. The company today, January 9th, which was yesterday, kicked off its new Axe Apollo Space Academy, an online contest that promises to send 22 winners to the edge of space and back aboard a private spaceship. The winning space travelers will launch aboard a suborbital Lynx space plane built by the U.S. company X-Core Aerospace and operated by the Tourism Film Space Expedition something, 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 officials said. Space travel for everyone is the next frontier in human existence or experience. I can't read. Buzz Aldrin, who became the second person ever to walk on the moon during NASA's 1969 Apollo 11 mission, said in a statement, "I'm thrilled that Axe is giving the young people of today such an extraordinary opportunity to experience some of what I've encountered in space."
Oh, you crazy young people with your perfume and your your things
with
your and stuff.
Nice and doing things.
I wonder if somebody had to sit
hordes of women.
I wonder if they had to have somebody sit him down and explain to him what Axe was.
Are you kidding me?
No, he would
Are
know.
You, okay, first
He's
of all,
on Twitter.
No, no.
He keeps up with like pop culture.
No,
okay. And whatnot.
I disagree. No way.
Really?
I don't know
because I mean he's always doing crap.
How old is Buzz Aldrin?
Like
he is senile.
Six or something.
That is the only reason. That is the only he is. He was in Mass Effect 3. He has no idea what is going on. People give him money and he just nods his head and smiles. I shouldn't speak ill of such Aww. Of a man like Buzz
He's
Aldrin.
He's going to punch you in the face.
That's
you know
true.
What? I shouldn't say bad things either because he is probably younger than my parents. He's 2 years older than my mom is. So, and my mom right. is bright as hell. She's not. She knows what's going
okay.
on.
Okay.
She knows what's
right.
going on. So.
All right. Okay, fine. I guess Buzz Aldrin can be in control of all his faculties. I guess that's cool.
I mean, for God's sakes, he's a moonwalker.
I, Oh, great. He's a moonwalker. Okay, let's break out the champagne. He's a moonwalker.
How many people have actually walked on the moon?
That's true.
I know.
It's a very small.
Yeah.
And when was the last time anyone has walked on the moon? Yeah. It's been a little while.
Apollo 17?
Yeah. It's sad.
Or Apollo
X.
According to. Yeah, X.
Dude, I could just see the TV commercial already. You're gonna have like, oh, here's your great idea, Dave. You have they kick off these, you know, you win the space prize. You go to the edge of space, and there's hordes of alien women.
Yes, that
green ladies. There you go.
That's an idea. See, three solid ideas on this show tonight.
It's all downhill from here.
I know. There's nowhere to go but down.
Holy crap, dude. Holy crap. You know what? Cool. I'm glad somebody's doing this, but X, really?
I have a bad feeling that once we actually get out into space, actually, you know, take a ship out into the solar system and explore other bodies of space.
This is you individually.
Yeah. No. Okay. No, this is my theory that it's going to be all sponsored by companies like Axe. Do you remember that movie that came out, that TV show that was, I think, ABC a couple of years ago? I don't remember. I think it was something Gravity, and the whole thing was sponsored, and they had to, like, make videos and, like, do commercials for their sponsors, and it was all dependent on the sponsors. It was a very short-lived TV show, but it was like the first, like, real expedition into the solar system, like, long-term expedition into the solar system. It was really a good show. I was really pissed off that they canceled it. But that was the thing, is they were sponsored by all these companies, and they had to actually do commercials and stuff. It was kind of lame. That part of it was.
All right. Well, that's cool.
Interesting.
Yeah. This could only end badly, this one.
It's going to end in a lot of diseases. Horrible diseases that we don't know about yet. Space diseases.
Oh, it's not because of the girls touching the guy's hair?
That's my point. You got a whole bunch of chicks, and you're going to get space disease.
They're going to get the space AIDS.
The space AIDS. All right.
Hepatitis space.
But seriously, are you guys excited about this? I mean,
I'm glad somebody's doing it, and I'm with you on the whole, you know, space travel sponsored by Kellogg's. I'm worried that we're turning into Idiocracy, that movie.
Yeah.
But
yes, we are.
But I am glad that it's like I'm glad that it's this and not some schmear where it's like, hey, you get to be the judge in a beauty contest or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And which is kind of what I would expect.
But. And at least we're doing something cool like this. At least we're sending people
right
into the edge of space, if not, you know, space itself. And if it develops into this show where everything is sponsored, fine. As long as we're doing it, I think that's the most important part.
Agreed.
All right. Anessa, do you agree? Then we can.
I do agree.
All right. All in favor, say aye. All right.
If you don't agree,
let's move on. All right. Picks coming up. But first, let's talk about Stitcher Smart Radio, the platform in which you can listen to this show and the other Galactic Netcast show, The Alien Invasion. What it is an app that you put on your mobile computing device. Be it a smartphone, a tablet, or any kind of, you know, mobile thing, as long as you can put an app on it, you can get the Stitcher app and you can listen to our shows. Just go to stitcher.com/galacticnetcasts and enter the promo code galacticnetcasts. All right, one more time, stitcher.com/galacticnetcasts. And yeah, do it today. And we thank Stitcher for their support of the time traveling robots in space. All right. Let's move on to our picks, and I'm excited, Paul, because you have moved on. You are you're progressing in your venture here.
It's true, it really is. Like I'm moving on up in the world, man. It's amazing what happens when it really is. It's amazing what happens when, you know, things start streaming makes my life a little bit easier, as it were, especially about things that I haven't caught like as early as I should have. And I'm assuming you don't want to bury the lead here. You want me to, you know, actually go on.
Yeah, let's talk about what exactly it is that you're progressing to.
I agree. We are talking about The Fringe. And I've gone through season one. I've gone through season two. I've gone through season three. Now, Dave, we're in season four.
Oh, watch out. You didn't skip season four and move on to season five?
No. No, I did not. And, you know, I have not completed season four. I've gone more than halfway. I'm like, I think I'm on episode 14 or 15. And yeah, I mean, I can see that this particular season garnered a lot of it got a lot of criticism. People are like, it's a little crazy. Like crazier, even by Fringe standards. This is odd. I don't know, Dave, what was your impression?
Refresh my memory. What happens in season four?
All right. So in season four, you have the alternate universe, you have regular universe, but now you got your doorway between the two universes.
Okay.
Like the normal doorway. And Mr. Peter, it's sort of blinked out of existence. Spoiler alert.
Okay. Did we just mess it up for Anessa? Anessa, have you watched all Fringe up to this point?
I haven't seen any Fringe, but I'm kind of spacing out right now.
So okay, all right. So
all yeah. right, cool. So I won't say anything more, but...
No, you can say as much as you want, because honestly, I'm just spacing at this point.
And that's why Anessa is something. See, she listens. This is a problem, Dave. We need to take care of this.
Well, because you mentioned my name, so I'm going to pay attention. But I don't know what you said before that.
Okay. So right. It's just like...
If you asked me what was I talking about, I have no idea.
All right.
It was like I've seen seasons one, two, three, four, halfway through, and then
I... You are correct. I apologize. You are correct. All right. So, Dave, season four. Like, what did you have a problem with it? I felt like a lot of people on the interwebs had a problem with season four.
Well, okay. The only problem I had was trying to figure out a good way of putting this without spoiling it for you.
Okay.
Because since you haven't watched the whole thing.
I have not watched the whole thing. Okay. Again, full disclosure, not the whole thing, but I'm close.
Okay.
You know, I think I get what's going on here, and I think I know where they're going. Right.
Well, I'm not going to say anything more. It is a little bit confusing. I think they kind of stalled a little bit. I wish they wouldn't have gone in that direction in season four. But they redeemed themselves big time in the next season. So you have nothing to worry about.
See, that's what I wanted to hear. So let me understand this. So season five is not completed yet. Like, it hasn't actually aired. Or at least all of it. I know some of it has.
It's almost done. Like, they're going to start up the last portion of the last season here.
All right. I need to figure out where I can actually watch those ahead of time, short of waiting it forward to come out on Blu-ray or what have you.
Pretty sure that they're all available on Hulu, I think.
Really?
Yeah.
I must check that. If that's the case, I must chickity check that.
Chickity check it.
Because if, you know what, man, if all is forgiven, if season five is good. Oh, you know what? I'm cool. I really the thing about Fringe I love the science fiction element of it, and I love most of the story elements to it. What really keeps me coming back to it is just the relationship among the characters. I like the characters. I love Walter.
Yeah.
I love Peter Bishop. I even like Olivia. And you know, at first I thought Olivia was pretty boring. But, you know, you get to know her a little bit. You're like, all right, I understand. I'm like, I really enjoy all the characters, and I enjoy their interactions with each other. So that's what keeps me coming back. And if you know what, if they can nail that, I'm good. I am good.
All right.
On a Fringe-related note, I think I heard correctly, but isn't Fringe a Warner Brothers production?
Yes.
It's supposed to be going to Netflix.
I have heard that.
Ooh.
Oh, along with some other stuff. Because I happen to have caught a tweet from Katie Sackhoff about Longmire going to Netflix. And the link that she posted also mentioned Fringe and some other TV shows. Because they worked out a deal with the WB.
Okay. Well, that's good.
Warner Brothers.
Exciting stuff happening in the world of streaming. I mean, there's a bunch of content heading to Netflix with the Disney, ABC, Lucasfilm thing and Warner Brothers. So Hulu's getting more stuff, you know. I heard Amazon streaming. What's their service called? Amazon.
This is Amazon Prime.
Prime.
Yeah, it's on Prime. I know right now.
But Amazon Prime is getting stuff that Netflix is not getting. So
yes,
right.
Well, you know, you guys have already noticed this, I'm sure. You're talking about there. If you're doing streaming or you have any inclination to do streaming, then you're going to get so many episodes of stuff. You're going to get stuff. That's what you're going to get. You're just going to get all kinds of good stuff. And it's going to be easy to get that because those particular studios pretty much do that for everybody. Mm-hmm. What's going to really set apart is just the deals that you can strike with the ones that are a little bit more difficult. Like the only reason I went with Amazon Prime in the first place, well, one of them, was that they had Fringe and they had The West Wing and they had a bunch of other stuff that I hadn't seen before. So I was like, okay, that makes it worth it.
Yep. All right.
Yeah, I really like Amazon Prime.
And then I have to get Netflix again just because of freaking Arrested Development.
You have until May.
I know. That's cool. I have no problem with that. It's just like, oh, dude. And their release, it's so brilliant. Dave, can you imagine they're going to release an entire season at once?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Dude, like think if that became the standard. Like if we got Fringe season 5 all at once.
Okay, I you know, it's got its drawbacks too because there's people that are going to be out there that are going to watch it all the way through, power through,
yeah,
and post spoilers on the internet, you know.
Oh sure.
Yeah.
So you got to watch yourself. You got to watch what you look at.
It's true. It's true.
But I need to hurry up and finish watching Arrested Development because I never watched it until recently and I'm on the last season, so I got to hurry up.
Isn't
before
there only two seasons?
There are three.
Three
seasons. Okay. Yeah. All right, let's move on. My pick is another TV show. This time it's on the Sci-Fi Channel, or SIFI, I guess. It's The Haven. Have you seen The Haven, guys?
Nope. Mm-mm.
Oh, great show. That's only gotten better over time. Like, it was good. It was good the first season. Better second season, third season, mind-blowing how good it is. So you guys got to check it out when you get a chance. I'm sure it's going to be on streaming somewhere. I get mine off of Hulu for now, the current stuff at least. So what I'm going to talk about is the episode from this season called Sarah, and it is a third season episode aired on November 16th of 2012, and you guys are not going to have any idea what I'm talking about, but it involves one of our subjects, which is time travel. So one of the characters is named Duke, and his father leaves behind a diary, which leads him to seek out a guy by the name of Stuart Mosley, whose name was entered in Duke's father's diary the day that he died, the day that Duke's father died. Mosley, now an old man, recognizes Duke, saying he shouldn't be there, and suddenly Duke finds himself in 1955. So this guy, Mosley, uses some power, and he just zaps him away. You think he disappears. He winds up on the beach, and he thinks it's the current year that he's in. His cell phone's not working, and he walks up the beach and sees all these like GIs with like old-fashioned uniforms. And he asks him what year it is, and he's like, oh, it's 1955. So it's kind of like a Back to the Future thingy. Shortly after, another of the main characters, Nathan, who also investigates. See, what happened was Duke accidentally stops his grandfather from being killed back in 1955. He had no idea who he was. He just happened to be in the same bar as his grandfather and stops him from being killed. And then because he did that, things start changing back in Haven in the present day. Like people start disappearing. Other people come back alive again. So it's kind of a whole paradox. What happened in the past will affect the future kind of thing. So that's pretty much all I'm going to say about that. You guys will just have to. And people listening, I'm sure there's some people listening that actually do watch the show. And that's why I'm going to protect you. from spoilers. But I highly recommend this episode. Great time travel. Great paradoxical time travel episode. Very, it reminds me of a more not funny version of Back to the Future.
Okay.
All right. A more not funny version. Got it.
Sold.
There's no Biff. There's no Doc Brown. There's no Einstein.
McFly.
What was his dog's name back in 1950?
Einstein.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, Copernicus.
Okay. All right. I knew there was another name.
Well, yes, another name. But
all right, that's my pick.
All right.
Anessa, we mentioned yours earlier.
We did. It is Iron Sky.
Oh, did you see it?
I did.
It's on the
Netflix.
Streaming now.
Yeah. I was really excited when I saw it. I totally added it to my queue and watched it last night.
It's 2012's Army of Frankensteins.
It is. For people that don't know what Iron Sky is about, in the last moments of World War II, a secret Nazi space program evaded destruction by fleeing to the dark side of the moon. During the 70 years of utter secrecy, the Nazis construct a giant space fortress with a massive armada of flying saucers. When American astronaut James Washington puts down his lunar lander a bit too close to the secret Nazi base, the Moon Führer decides the glorious moment of retaking the Earth has arrived sooner than expected. Two Nazi officers, ruthless Klaus Adler and idealistic Renat Richter, travel to Earth to prepare the invasion. In the end, when the Moon Nazi UFO armada darkens the skies, ready to strike at the unprepared Earth, every man, woman, and nation alike must reevaluate their priorities.
So, Moon Führer.
Moon Führer, yes.
Moon Führer.
Moon Führer. And, yeah, apparently the people on the moon, well, some of them anyway, were completely oblivious to what actually went on with World War II and the whole Nazi movement. And so when one of the characters, Renata, discovers this and then, like, things happen, I guess. But it's entertaining. I actually enjoyed it more than I thought I would. I mean, it's kind of cheesy. At parts, as you would expect, but it's sure. Entertaining. I know I was looking earlier at Rotten Tomatoes, and like on the tomato meter, it's pretty low. It's like 37% or 40% or something like that like it. So, but yeah, and it's funny because they made the president of the United States to be, I guess they put her in the image of Sarah Palin.
Yeah.
So she's kind of a maverick.
Nice. Did she really do the Sarah Palin accent?
Yeah, kind of. Nice. She tries. And there's a scene, I don't know if either of you guys have seen Downfall. It's a German flick.
It's the one where they always, on YouTube, that they always
they
add the subtitles.
Scene
yeah.
Hitler gets mad and there's people outside the room and they have kind of a little reference to that in the movie, which is kind of amusing.
Oh, neat.
So even if they haven't seen Downfall and they've seen that meme with Hitler getting mad and then they insert different voiceovers or subtitles to what he's getting mad at, like, oh, the Spurs lost to the Mavericks, I can't believe this.
I didn't
whatever
know
it might be.
I didn't know this is on streaming. I have to watch this. I gotta put this in my queue now.
You need to put it in your queue and you need to watch it. So it was entertaining. I thought it was entertaining. Although my standards might be kind of low. I don't know.
No, I'm sure not. I'm sure has some entertainment value to it. I mean, it's not, I don't think this is a movie that I would ever like pay money to see.
Yeah,
no, it's not something that I would pay money to see, but if it's like I'm flipping through the channels and it's on or it's on Netflix and I can't think of anything else that I'm in the mood for, then I'd watch it.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I enjoyed it.
How was the tech? Was the tech pretty good? Like, were their ships awesome looking?
They looked like clunky UFOs. I mean, they weren't like smooth and streamlined or anything. Part of the thing is when they decide that they want to start invading Earth, is they discover that the astronaut has a cell phone, and basically his cell phone has more computing power than the Nazis do.
Okay.
And so they try to use this newfound technology to their advantage somehow. So, but
that's funny.
Yeah. Cause I mean, like it's funny because in one scene, the astronaut is asked, well, what's this? And he's like, oh, that's my cell phone. It's kind of like a computer in my pocket. And like this, Nazi doctor, which kind of reminds me a bit of Einstein and his look, walks over. He's like, that's not a computer. This is a computer. And then it's like a huge, massive wall of blinking lights.
Nice. So,
I got to see this.
Yeah, it's pretty entertaining. So
let me get this straight. The astronaut had a cell phone on the moon and it worked?
I don't know that it actually like got reception. Okay. But for whatever reason, he had a cell phone on him.
Okay.
And they discovered the cell phone, and it at least powers up and you can play with apps. So maybe he was playing Angry Birds in space.
Okay,
while
you need to do something, you know. Maybe he's playing That's Angry true. Birds in space.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm meta.
Yeah, I know.
He's getting meta.
All right, cool. This is going in my queue ASAP. That's ASAP.
All right.
Awesome.
All right, those are our picks, and we'll have those on the picks page. Picks page at galacticnetcasts.com. All right. Hey, question of the week. Let's do that to wrap this thing up.
So, yeah, question of the week. If given the opportunity, would you rather work for a space agency, whether it's NASA or SpaceX, working on trying to further explore space, like making your contribution? Or would you rather work on the set of a sci-fi movie? Like, you're not going to make, like, millions of dollars, but, you know, just, like...
You should have mentioned that.
Livable wages. So, I mean, it's not going to be, like, Joe at Jack in the Box or anything, but, you know.
Am I going to be able to go into space while working for NASA or SpaceX?
See, and now I know what Dave's answer is.
I don't know. I suppose it just depends on what you end up doing. I hadn't thought that far. So sure, why not? If your job entails being able to go into space.
Okay. I'm going to say I want to work for NASA, one of those companies, just because if you work on a science fiction movie, it's not going to be as cool if you just see the movie, because you're seeing how the things are made, you know? What's cool about a sci-fi movie is actually seeing it on screen with all the effects and stuff. It's not that cool to watch a sci-fi film being filmed, you know? So I think in the long run, I'd rather work for NASA or SpaceX.
All right.
All right.
All right. I disagree with Dave.
Oh, I'm wrong? Oh.
I didn't say you were wrong. I said I disagree. No, I'd want to be in a science fiction movie. Dude, you could be in a Star Trek movie or a Star Wars movie.
Well,
that's like forever. Of course, you could be in like, you know, a totally crappy, like you could be like in a Godzilla versus Iron Man or something.
Or Army of Frankensteins.
Hey, do not. Don't go there, sir.
You guys are both like, hey.
I would happily be in Army of Frankensteins. Happily. Dude, I would just... Oh, man. I will be the third Frankenstein. That's okay.
The third Frankenstein.
No, I think it'd be fun just to go through the process and trying to actually like make a cool sci-fi movie. I think that'd be awesome. And you know, I guess ultimately... I guess I can see Dave's point. Like, if you actually wanted to go to space, I can see that'd be all right.
You know, I just want to go to space, you know, because...
Dave's like, I want to go to space.
You know, if you don't want to live in a fantasy world, I guess that's fine.
No, if it was Star Trek, man, that's tough. Knowing what movie it is.
I knew I'd get you on Star Trek. I knew that would like give you a double take.
It's my Achilles heel. No, I'm gonna stick with my answer.
All right.
Anessa, what's yours?
This was actually kind of a hard one for me because I would totally like to do both, but I would actually lean towards a sci-fi movie because I wouldn't want to be in the movie, but I'd like to work on the set, and I think it would be a lot of fun. I know it can get kind of redundant and whatnot, but just trying to be creative, and then if something happens, you get to like improv with maybe props or whatever. So I don't know. I think it would be really cool to see little bits and pieces and then help put them all together to a finished product that other people can enjoy. So I think that whole process would be kind of fun to experience.
So the whole creative part of it, the creative aspect of it, you'd be into.
Right.
That's cool.
And it's like, I remember watching an episode of Doctor Who. Maybe it was Tom Baker. Maybe. But they were on like the space arc type setup. And
that was Tom Baker.
So it was Tom Baker, and there was something on the ship that was turning people, or turning like at least one of the people into like some other creature. And as the guy was changing into this thing, he had his hand in his pocket. And so it's like little bits and pieces. And he pulled his hand out of his pocket at one point, and the camera like zooms in on it. And I was sitting there with my roommate, and we both kind of paused and we're like, wait, is that bubble wrap? And it was like bubble wrap spray painted green.
Awesome.
And that I'm like, awesome. That's awesome. I would love to work on a set, like even if it's making like a really cheesy sci-fi movie, just to come up with crap and put it together and try to make it entertaining.
It'd be fun to make a cheesy science fiction film.
To
set out to make a cheesy science fiction film.
Yeah.
Many have tried. Only a few have succeeded.
Well,
it's very true.
You're supposed to not succeed, right?
It's a cheesy sci-fi film.
How do you define success in this case?
Yeah, that's true. That's very
true. It's people that like enjoy, people that have actually seen your movie, I think would be a success. If you made a cheesy sci-fi movie and only the people that created it and their friends saw it and that was it, then that's pretty much a failure, I think.
Hey, if you wanted to make a cheesy sci-fi movie and you met that goal and you're like, dude, yes, this is a freaking cheesy sci-fi movie, then congratulations. You've done your job. You have provided your service.
Indeed.
So if that's what you wanted to do, fantastic. If you were freaking wanting to make the next Star Wars and you ended up with Godzilla versus Iron Man, then you might want to rethink some
things. Then you failed. Yeah. I want a cheesy sci-fi movie to end up on Netflix at some point.
Oh, there are plenty.
That would be successful for me. Yes, we made it to Netflix. Done.
We can stream this.
Speaking of weird things on Netflix, have you guys ever seen the test movies on Netflix of just the guy walking around? Like they're
No.
Yeah. I forget how I found them, but there's a certain thing that you search for. And you can find like the early like Netflix streaming tests where they would just film somebody like walking by a bunch of times.
I heard about them, I think.
Different camera angles, and it's one of the funniest things ever.
Wow,
why? Just because?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Probably to test out the technology, I guess.
Yeah.
Different rates and
frame rates and all that crap. Yeah. All right, that's going to do it. I think before we leave, though, got to remind you to subscribe, please.
Go for it.
Because we want more people listening. That's the point. It's like, what if you made a podcast and nobody listened? That's no fun.
Does it still happen? Answer, yeah. Yeah, it freaking does.
It does. We just get pissed off because you're not subscribing.
You hurt my feeling. Yes. I cry myself asleep at night.
Yeah, don't make Anessa mad.
I'm going to cry.
Yeah.
Wah.
All right, so subscribe.galacticnetcast.com. You can go down to iTunes and subscribe to us there. And while you do that, you know, give us 5 stars and give us a creative, constructive comment or two, you know. Doesn't have to be positive. Can be negative. Just tell us what we're doing wrong and how we can fix it.
All right.
Just be gentle.
Yes. All right. And one more thing. We got a voicemail.
Ooh. I love those.
Yeah. From Jason in Kansas.
Jason's awesome.
Yeah. Jason's a longtime Galactic Netcast listener. Let's hear what Jason has to say.
Hello, all. This is Jason from Kansas again. I just listened to the latest episode and heard that no one ever calls, so I'm calling. I wanted to give you a quick update. I'll try to keep it short and sweet. I think I told you in an email one time that because of you guys, I got back into Doctor Who and yet got my wife hooked on Doctor Who, and madness ensued. We happened to get in touch with some people in Wichita that told us about a con that was coming up called Encounters a couple months ago. We went, enjoyed ourselves, and we got to meet Tom Kane, who does the voice of Yoda and other voices on The Clone Wars. Got to meet Caitlin Glass, who does voices for various anime shows. And we became official members of the Whovians of Wichita, which is a Doctor Who group that meets like once or twice a month. They dress up in character. It's awesome stuff. It's really been a blast listening to you guys. Just wanted to say that. And happy holidays if I don't catch y'all. Going to Texas, so I'll be in Anessa's area. Not that close to where I'll be in Amarillo area, but still. Hope you all have a good, safe holiday, and keep up the good work. Take it easy. Bye.
All right. Thanks, Jason. And if you want to leave a voicemail like he did, the number to dial is 805-328-3966. 805-328-3966. I have three things. Number
thank
one.
You, Jason.
Yeah, thank you, Jason. You're an awesome listener. We love you. Keep it up. Number two, Encounters. It sounds like a gentleman's club or a adult or an adult bookstore. Novelty shop. Encounters.
So Cosmic Encounters makes it just sex in space. It makes it green.
Yes. And three, my third point is after Paul is done with Fringe, you got to start watching Doctor Who.
Okay. I will try. I'm worried, Dave. I'm worried.
She's scared.
You don't want to end up putting costumes on and at a convention called Encounters?
No, that part's fine.
Okay.
That's not what bothers me. What bothers me is that it's freaking Doctor Who. okay, all right, let me try and explain this. Like, when I remember looking at the old Doctor Who and it kind of being just like, what the hell is happening? Of course, I was really, you know, I was a lot younger. And I just, it was one of those bizarre things that I'm like, I don't understand what's happening. And for whatever reason, I associate Doctor Who with another horrible sci-fi show that's not at all like Doctor Who. So it kind of like these things commingle and I don't know what's real anymore. And I have to know it's real so I don't talk about Doctor Who.
You need an intervention. And what you have to remember is that starting in 2005, Doctor Who got a lot better than the old school, like cheesy 1970s. No offense, Anessa, Tom Baker, Doctor Who, or anything around that era. They're great.
I've only seen a few old episodes of the older Doctor Who, although I do have this goal of making my way from like 1963 onwards.
Yeah.
So you're saying 2004.
2005
is the magic number.
Yeah, that's when they rebooted, well, quote unquote, rebooted the series and started with Christopher Eccleston, who was the Doctor for one season. Whoop, I probably shouldn't have said that. Sorry.
Well, I know they've had different Doctors.
Yeah. But I think you will like this version.
Well, they
version. I don't think...
What is it? They have how many seasons now? Seven? Yeah, seven. Right?
Yeah. Because we're on the seventh season.
So yeah, I you know, it's cool. I keep hearing, I don't know, man. There's conflict.
Okay, there's
conflict in the head. Tell me, is it fun? Like, I don't know what it's like.
You know what? Okay.
There's some episodes that are like lighthearted and fun, and then there's some other episodes that kind of tug at your heartstrings a little bit.
Okay.
And then there's some that try to be scary, but they don't necessarily succeed.
So again, this kind of goes to my point. You're saying that it's undefinable. It goes this way for a little while. Then it goes that way for
but
a little
it usually time. Has a flow, though, rather than just like a monster, the monster of the week. There's at least some sort of flow.
There's a continuing story. It's about a guy in a space box going through space and time with his companions. The writing wrongs. They're kicking ass. And the episode. Your prejudices out of your head, Paul Swickard. All right.
It sounds like a cartoon.
Well, it began.
It really does. What you just described sounds like a Saturday morning cartoon.
It is kind of fantastical, and it began as a kid's show. It's not really a kid's show anymore, but it's got some characteristics of kid's show. But, do us a favor, Paul. Just watch one episode, all right? The episode.
Okay, so you're telling
me that
I only need one episode.
Yes. Okay. And Anessa may agree with me on this. The one episode to watch is called Blink. All right? You watch Blink, you'll want to watch more.
Watch Blink.
Right, Anessa? That's the episode to watch.
I see the doubt. See, doubt lingers in her eyes. In this high-definition camera, I can tell.
Well, because I'm sitting here trying to think of all of the episodes. Blink is a really good episode to watch.
And you don't have to know anything about the series. To watch Blink and get it.
Yeah, because in this particular case, it's mainly like the doctor and then some other people that nobody else really knows. He's just encountered them in this episode.
Yeah.
So that would probably be a good episode. It's a good standalone episode.
All right.
So.
All right. You know, it's one of those things that I'm going to have to watch eventually. It just...
I'm going to give you...
Or you could just do like the very first episode.
Yeah.
Where the doctor meets Rose.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, go 2000. What was the name of that episode? It was called Rose. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
All right.
That's your challenge, Paul Swickard.
It'll happen, I'm sure. Just probably not in a timely fashion.
He's just reluctant.
All right, let's end the show. This has been Time Traveling Robots in Space number 53. Thanks for joining us. And any final thoughts, guys? Come on. You can do it.
I like space. like outer space. Although I do like elbow room, too.
Yeah, space is good in any form, really.
Yeah, it really is.
Space
is good. Especially when you have your little personal bubble that's your own space.
Yeah.
Because of that, be excellent to each other.
Way to bring it back around again. That's awesome, Paul.
Brings a tear to my eye.
All right.
I need to go watch Bill and Ted.
Talk to you guys later.
All right. Bye. Bye.
Leave your hailing frequencies open and scanners on full, because another Galactic Netcast will be approaching your coordinates soon. For more information, go to galacticnetcasts.com.